The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is episode number 68. We're recording this on Thursday, January 12th. This is our first episode of 2017. I got the year right. Did you guys hear that?
Good job.
I'm proud, 17
Lou. And not 16. I feel a big accomplishment. But is that sad that it's one of my bigger accomplishments of the week? Or
as you get older, the, like... I'm being careful. As one gets older...
Okay.
It starts to become closer to February before you start getting the year correct.
I've only wrote 16 once this year, so I feel pretty proud of that. So
that's not bad.
How are you guys doing? The voices you hear there are my two co-hosts, Eric and Chris. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
It's a long
starting off. Starting off 2017 in a very weird way, but I'm here.
Very weird way. We had to dig into that at some point.
It's just been a strange start to the year. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
That could be good, though, because you said before the year always starts well, and then about 3 months into it, it goes downhill. So maybe
that is a good point.
Maybe this is breaking the cycle. That could
That's
be good.
True. I hope so. Yeah, that'd be good news. And Eric, how are you?
I am keeping my head above the water. That's good. It's been... My year has been weird this year too, but we're dealing with my son has what I tell everybody is he's slightly autistic. And while that's not literally a thing, it's an easier way of explaining that he has autism spectrum disorder without like being like he's not like Rain Man. Like you would talk to him and not realize that he's anything except a hyper 7-year-old. But it's caused a lot of problems for him at school, and we've been working with schools and counselors and stuff like that ever since he started school. This current year in his second grade, his current school, we feel has basically been trying to kick him out since day one. Even though there are programs in place within the school system to, you know, accommodate his needs and work with him and things like that. And we've been dealing with the fact that they seem to be actively sabotaging everything. So the past 2 weeks, basically since the week before we left for the holidays, we've been working on both fighting the school system and getting him placed into a different school that is set up to accommodate his needs. So as of like literally yesterday, things are finally starting to come together. We've still got a couple of things that we're doing today and tomorrow, and Monday is a holiday. So Tuesday he will be starting at the new school, and hopefully I can start looking at other things like, the podcast network and house cleaning and it's probably too late for me to register for online courses at this point, but this has kind of been taking up our entire lives. And so it's been weird, but like things are working out, which is a nice change.
Yeah, it sounds stressful, but I'm glad things are looking up and moving in the right direction. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, and otherwise, I've been going back and going through all of the old episodes of Random Chatter. I've talked before about the vault that we will be unlocking and opening up for people to check out shows going all the way back to early 2005. So over a decade in podcasting.
Wow.
And I did not listen to the very early episodes. I kind of, you know, skipped ahead to some of the later ones, but some of them are really good. And,
you know, that doesn't bode well that over 10 years of podcasting, Some of them are really good. I
know.
You gotta lead with honest. You know, you're not really selling it.
Like I said, I'm trying to be honest. I mean, the early ones sucked. they sucked royally. We're going to be launching a wiki site soon, and not like community editable wiki, but more that the wiki interface provides an easier way for people to reference archives of things. We'll be doing it for like the archived movie drafts and some other projects we've got coming up. But one of the things there is the vault is also going to include all the Lost Chatter episodes and the movie chatter and the TFN shows we did. And I'll have links up to the Forcecast shows we did. So we'll get Chris's first ever podcast episode. And I've got Lou's first appearance on. You started on Lost Chatter, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I thought so, too. I don't have those posted yet, but I've got your first appearance on Random Chatter.
Oh.
Yeah. I've got the episodes where it was you and Jay without me. I've got...
Yep. Did a bunch of those.
Nathan's... when Nathan and Jeremy came on to talk about Flick Chart while it was still in beta.
Cool.
We've got the infamous Ultraviolet review. We've got the Firewall review, the really bad Harrison Ford movie. We've got Pirates of the Caribbean 2. We've got Snakes on a Plane. We've got Cloverfield. We've got Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. I mean, we've got everything.
You know, aside from the bad movies.
We've got my 2001 rant, my very first 2001 rant ever.
You do a lot of those.
Yeah, this was my first. 2008. My wife. You know, I forgot my wife was. Movies. What's that?
I said, aside from the bad movies, which we all know are fun to rip apart and review because they're just bad. I do remember some of the good reviews you had of Movie Chatter back when I was a listener before I was on network.
I don't.
One of them vividly, I remember that I had to seek out the movie and see it because the discussion sounded so good, was a movie called Waterborne. Do you remember talking about that?
Waterboy?
Waterborne.
Waterborne.
This goes back to, I don't know, probably 2005 or 6.
It
was a movie you guys reviewed about the water supply being tainted in the LA area. And it was, you know, terrorist type thing going on, but it was interesting. It was just about the reaction of, you know, everybody in the area. It wasn't about the response from the government or anything else. It was about the people and how they reacted to not being able to drink the water and not being able to bathe and stuff, and how society kind of broke down. I thought it was a very interesting discussion. I saw the movie after that, and I just loved it.
Okay, well, first I want to say thank you. I'm very proud of that episode. And second, I want to say that I think that was an episode on Movie Chatter with Andrew and Morgan, and I had nothing to do with it.
Well, yeah, I wasn't sure it was on it, but I remember that was one from Movie Chatter that I loved. And we're talking about old episodes, I figured I'd bring that up.
Yeah.
I wasn't praising you, per se.
I haven't inventoried what... if it was a good review, it probably wasn't me. I haven't inventoried what I have for Movie Chatter yet, but I've got a decent selection of the Movie Chatter stuff.
Cool.
I've got all of Lost Chatter and all of... I was wrong. I said there were 6 different volumes or seasons of Random Chatter. There are actually 7. I've got all except a couple of the very, very early episodes, and there's 1 or 2 episodes here and there I'm missing. But
cool.
There's lots of good stuff there.
Nice. So aside from all this back stuff you're posting up there...
Yeah.
Do we have anything new we want to talk about? Are we kind of too early to talk about some of the new stuff we're going to be doing, or?
I don't think it's too new. No.
Okay. Cause I mean, we got some new stuff coming up. We're excited about some things we're going to start adding.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new, Star Wars new show coming out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're planning on doing, well, more for Patreon stuff. We're going to put them on the network as well for doing some commentary on movies.
Yes, we're going to be doing our first film commentary. It looks like we're going to be doing A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome.
There's a few other shows we've talked about doing. I don't think we're really ready to announce too many things more yet. But
I can say that the Ask Me Anything, which, by the way, if people want to ask questions to Chris or Lou, that's fine, too. I just set it up because I was giving myself more work and didn't want to dump it on them. But the first Ask Me Anything episode and the first Rantosaurus episode are going to be posted soon. Those are recorded and good to go.
Cool.
And I really want to get our trailer show.
And that too. But of course, our most recent thing, which hasn't posted yet, has it? Is Crash Couch? Is that posted yet?
It is. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is. Our new show for the Expanse. We're getting ready for season 2. We're excited about that. And I am excited because I started rewatching season one in my living room with my new Hue light set up. It does the story sync thing with Sci-Fi Channel. So it turns my lights different colors as the scenes change. I love that.
Okay, so let's talk about that real quick. So the background on the screen is blue and it turns the light blue. And it changes to red and the light turns to red. Like, it does it really... I mean, on paper, it seems like such a simplistic thing.
It's more immersive. I mean, if I'm watching at night and I've got all the rest of the lights in the house, or rest of the lights in the house off, and those are just there to give me a little more ambiance, I think it feels more immersive into the movie or into the show. I'm not saying it's a game changer, but...
Well, no, but it's one of those things where you always wonder, especially since, you know, you're going to drop $100 on the controller and three light bulbs. Mm-hmm. Or more, 100, 120, yeah. Something like that. So, like, it sounds really gimmicky, but it's nice to have someone who's used it and can speak to it.
Right, and I won't say I got it just for that. I got it because I don't have a good way of having lights out in the house when I come home at night, and I want to make sure I can turn them on, because when we built the house, we didn't put a light switch right at the top of the stairs inside. It's like, I got to walk in the house and get in, and cats will escape down in the basement. I don't want that happening. So, I can turn the lights on before I get in the house, and it's nice, but... The benefit of having, you know, the ability to do colors and ability to do this thing with the Sci-Fi Channel sync and stuff is pretty cool. I'm really enjoying that part. Cool. My wife rolls her eyes and thinks it's kind of absurd, but, you know,
yeah,
I'll live with that.
I like mine. I've got one of the earlier sets, so the greens aren't really good. If you know anything about light, the greens are hard to reproduce. And the newer systems, I guess, are a little bit better about that.
I think they're on Gen 3 of the bulbs now, so the bulbs are... Couple generations in, they're supposed to produce more colors and better colors.
Yeah. I haven't tried the story sync thing yet because I've got the bulbs in my computer room and then have not actually set them up in a room where I watch things. So,
okay.
But I've been meaning to try.
Well, I encourage you to give it a shot because it's pretty fun.
Cool.
So anyway, we should probably get right into the news now because we are trying to keep our show shorter. We've promised that for many years and we're actually following through. So.
And we're already 10 minutes in. Thanks to me.
So our first story, I kind of want to hear what you guys think about this, because I saw it and I'm a little underwhelmed, I guess, maybe. But the new Chips trailer has dropped.
Yes.
And what do you guys think? Did you guys watch it?
Yes.
Yes.
So Chips is an acronym for California Highway Patrol. And this is a TV show. I didn't really ever watch it that much as a kid. I've seen episodes of it. But Lou, correct me if I'm wrong. We're talking like late 70s, early 80s.
I believe so. I know it was definitely early 80s. Definitely. I mean, I'm watching as a kid a lot myself. I remember the show pretty fondly. So I may come from a different perspective on this trailer than you guys have.
Probably.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what is Chips?
Yeah. It was a cop procedural, but keep in mind that cop shows back then, other than maybe Hill Street Blues, were a little more lighthearted and fluffy than they are now. It was, think of, like, I guess it's kind of like Baywatch, but not as ridiculous, and it's focusing on two motorcycle policemen in California.
It was, you're right, it was definitely more fluffy, it was definitely more lighthearted, there was no...
Everything was back then.
What's that?
Everything was back then. All of these types of shows were.
Right. But this show in general, in specific, was not, you know, there's no hard edge to it. It's not like watching, you know, Law and Order today where, you know, bad stuff's going to happen and it may not have a happy ending. Chips always had a happy ending. They always solved the crime in 35 minutes between, you know, commercials, and everything got done and everybody was happy at the end. And there was no recurring theme throughout the seasons.
Right.
But it was fun for the time. It was what shows were back then, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't a comedy. It was a drama, but it wasn't a real hard-hitting drama.
Right.
So this trailer is definitely not the same tone as the show was. The trailer is more lighthearted. It's more... slapstick humor in some cases. We've got some notes here in the show notes talking about other shows that have kind of destroyed late 70s, early 80s television shows, much to my dismay. You know, things like Dukes of Hazzard, the Starsky and Hutch movie was really, really bad from my opinion because it didn't really do the same thing that the show did.
Well, I think that's the best way to really describe this. I mean, if you're looking for... Okay, so first of all, it is, you are correct, Lou, it is absolutely nothing like the TV show. Other than the style of motorcycles are similar and yet more modern. And it's in California and they are part of the highway patrol. Like, other than that, that's about it. I thought it looked good. It looks like the action is good. The comedy is good. There are slapsticky moments, but then it's not necessarily, I mean, Dax Shepard is one of the leads. So yeah, there's going to be a little bit of a, kind of a, an immature humor to it, but it's not like, it's not nearly as bad as most Dax Shepard movies. So I think the really the best way to describe it would be, based on the trailer, to compare it to these other movies that are also remakes of TV shows from that time period. And the first one that comes to mind for me would be Dukes of Hazzard, which I don't remember if it had Dax Shepard in it or not, too, but I thought it did. I'd have to look it up.
I didn't see it, so I don't recall. But
you didn't see it.
See, the problem.
Oh, we reviewed that on Random Chatter too.
I mean, the problem I have with it is not just that. I mean, I like the kind of humor in the movie. I think it might be a good movie to watch. Just why is it chips? I mean, it you know, it doesn't have to be. They don't have to. To me, if you're going to remake the TV show into a movie, or do a movie from the TV show, be more true to the source material.
But you can't. You can't, because that source material won't work today. And when you look at it, it is relatively close.
Yes and no. You could modernize it without making it humorous in that way.
Is that what bothers you? Not so much the story, but the fact that the tone is different?
Yeah, exactly. The tone in the way they do the comedy is not the same. It's like apples and oranges compared to what the TV show was. I mean, look at it this way. It'd be like, what if they took Star Trek and did a movie on, you know, of that TV series, the original, and had this kind of humor in it and had this kind of comedy.
Have you seen the last three Star Trek movies?
It's not the same thing.
Dude, the last... I don't want to spoil it. Dang it. The last one and Sabotage, and that's all I'm going to say. Come on. Come on. Really? Did we not see that in Mars Attacks? I mean, come on.
One song in the movie is not the same as what they did with these TV shows.
No, it's what they did with this...
In a movie.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just saying it's a different concept. They're taking it and making it into something... Totally that it wasn't originally.
No.
Which I'm not having a problem with. It's just, it's, you know, do the movie, don't call it Starsky and Hutch, and don't call it, you know, Dukes of Hazzard, don't call it Chips.
Okay.
It's something else.
I understand what you're saying. I really do. I disagree that, I mean, it's close to the TV series, except it adds humor. And I think that is definitely going to be the most controversial part of this, bar none. Like, that is what's going to make or break this. Is whether or not the humor A is funny and B turns people off that they're trying to target by keeping that name and the concept. I mean, the characters are somewhat similar. It sounds like the backgrounds are a little bit different, but you've got Dax Shepard as John Baker, who is your typical white guy. You've got Michael Pena as Ponch, who is the Latino partner. You've got, again, they're motorcycle cops. They're in California. Like, the environment of the story is the same. The background of the two characters is different. The plot is different. There's some corrupt cops somewhere in the department, and they're trying to figure out what's going on there. And the humor really is, I think, both the most offensive part of it, for the people like you who are looking at it nostalgically, and also probably the most likely to be the offensive part to people who are just thinking about offensive things in general, because it's Dax Shepard and sex jokes and stuff like that. But again, it does not look as cheap as Starsky and Hutch and as Dukes of Hazzard. It reminds me more of the 21 Jump Street remake, which actually wasn't bad. And in fact, this looks closer to Chips than the 21 Jump Street remake looked to 21 Jump Street.
Really? Okay.
I think so.
I mean, the trailer, if I take the word chips out of it and just look at it as a comedy movie about two motorcycle cops, it works. I mean, the comedy was funny. I laughed. I had a couple good chuckles, especially towards the end of the trailer. You know, it was good stuff. I'm not saying I'm a prude and don't like that kind of humor, but it was just, when I think about it as how this would play against the original TV show, it's like, well, I don't know.
So I have a question.
To me, it's a money grab. You know, it's like, let's use the name and take some money.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
So, you know, we're talking about Chips and some of these other classic TV shows being remade into modern movies. By the way, I think this movie looks really funny, and I'm intrigued to see it. I also liked Starsky and Hutch, and what I've seen of Dukes of Hazzard isn't bad either. And I also did see the A-Team, because we also have that listed here in the show notes. But I kind of think that these movies, if they have to be compared to the source material, I almost think that they're supposed to be parodies of their original selves and how ridiculous some of it was, you know, compared to what we see now on TV. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I can see that. And a parody to me would be okay to do, you know, pick it apart, make fun of it, go over the top, do the whole thing. But it's not like they're, you know, they don't show that as this is a parody in the trailer. It's not like they're doing a scary movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, type thing parody. It's not like it's supposed to be a parody. It's supposed to be Chips or the A-Team. Or
I mean, the only ones that you could,
Hazard.
The only ones you could really say, I think, were more of a parody or satire or whatever you want to call it. Dukes of Hazzard, Starsky and Hutch. To me, those, especially Starsky and Hutch, that was the parody. That was the making fun of the 70s era and that style of TV show and stuff like that. 21 Jump Street wasn't really trying to comment upon the original show. The A-Team, I don't think, was trying to comment upon the original show. And I don't get the impression that this trailer is trying to comment upon the original show either. I think that this trailer, more so than any of these other movies listed, perhaps with the exception of the A-Team, I think that this particular trailer wants this movie to be taken seriously on its own, more so than anyone making Dukes of Hazzard expected it to be taken seriously. Like, they mean it with Chips. This movie is like, this is an actual legitimate movie in their opinion. And I have to say, based on the trailer, I would agree with that. It does look like, and I get what you're saying, Lou, like, take the Chips name off of it, and it looks like a good movie. The only thing I'm curious about, really, is the level of the comedy, like, the scope of the comedy. Is it going to be more like 21 Jump Street, or is it going to be more like Lethal Weapon, where it's primarily a cop action movie that also has a really good amount of humor in it?
Right.
But there's a point which, if you put too much humor in it, then it's a comedy with some action elements. So where does the pendulum fall?
And which direction they're going to go in?
Exactly.
I mean, regardless, I don't think I'll see it in a theater. I'll probably see it, but probably not shelling out $15 a ticket.
If I have an opportunity, like if I have the ability to go see it, I might. I don't know. I'm going to wait and hold judgment until I see reviews.
What about you, Chris? You going to go see this?
I probably, unless something else, I would imagine something else would probably take priority. But if someone, like my friend or something, said, hey, let's go see this, I probably wouldn't turn them down.
Okay, fair enough. I'm in the minority.
I definitely want to see it at some point, just because it looks really funny. And
it does look really funny. Yeah,
I like funny cop movies, or funny, you know, cops or, you know, federal agents or whatever.
Okay, cool. Eric, I'm going to throw this next story over to you, because I did not see any news about this, so you probably know more about this than I do.
Okay.
We could just skip it, because it's terrible news.
Well, see, now that you've said that, we can't skip it. Now we have to talk about it.
That's right, yeah.
So,
what was the bad news?
Fox may be announcing a new X-Men television series, and the announcement might be coming really soon, like within the next 2 weeks.
Well, how is that bad news?
Well, I can see where it could be
because
bad news.
I'm tired of the X-Men.
But it's what you've been seeing is not really the X-Men. Like
That's what they said before. So then they rebooted it, and then that's what we've still been saying. So now they're going to reboot it again.
But we're still saying it because it still sucks. If they would just stop sucking,
maybe X-Men just is meant to suck.
Oh.
So now maybe instead of getting 2 hours every couple years that sucks, we're going to get an hour every week that sucks.
No, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. First of all, the comics, at least back when I used to read them, were good. They were, the flagship Marvel comics, number one. Number two, the cartoon series from the 90s, back before you had as many cartoon series as you do now, was actually legitimately good.
Yep, I like that too.
So.
The cartoon series was good.
Yeah. So, Carrie in the chat room, Apocalypse was that bad. It wasn't that bad in the sense that it was worse. It wasn't that bad. It was worse than just that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Apocalypse was bad. And Days of Future Past was bad. And everything except the first X-Men movie and the second X-Men movie, in my opinion, were...
Wait. Are we talking about the first trilogy or the reboot trilogy?
The Bryan Singer X-Men and X2 United.
Okay.
Those were okay. In fact, I dare say they were good. And then pretty much everything that's come after that has been crap. And of the Wolverine movies, there were problems with it, but I didn't mind the Wolverine. Like the third Wolverine movie. I thought it was okay. But anyway.
So all the X-Men movies sucked after the first two.
Sadly, yes.
Including Deadpool.
I was waiting on it.
Deadpool is not a member of the X-Men.
I have heard it called an X-Men movie, though. I'm just saying.
He's not a member of the X-Men. He's not a mutant. He tried out to be in the X-Men for a while, and I think they let him in for like 3 days, and then they discovered he wasn't really a mutant. They kicked him out anyway. Like, finally, we can kick you out. Like,
I had to get that little dig in. I don't want to drag the show anymore.
Don't think you can school me on Deadpool. Don't go there.
Okay, sorry.
I
got us off track. So where were we with this new awesome TV series?
I was just getting distracted. Carrie said I need to jump into Slack because apparently there's a discussion that I missed in Slack about how Apocalypse wasn't that bad. So now I have to go back to our Slack community and school them on how bad Apocalypse actually was. Because it was not good, and that only leaves one other option left over. Back to the story. The show is currently untitled, and there are some big names behind it. It's going to be produced by Bryan Singer. This particular quote I've got here is from ScreenRant.com, but it's being covered in a lot of different outlets. The currently untitled show, which is set to be produced by Bryan Singer, Lauren Shuler Donner, Simon Kinberg, Jeff Loeb, and Jim Chory, tells the story of two parents without powers trying to protect their mutant children from a prejudiced government. The characters find other mutants in hiding, and they band together to stay alive in a world that is hostile to their kind. Exploratory casting has reportedly already begun, though character details are currently unavailable. Now, this sounds a lot to me like Exiles, which was kind of the cast-offs. They never were under the tutelage of Professor Xavier. They were basically all but homeless kids on the street trying to survive. And while it didn't, the comic book series that covered those characters, while it never really blossomed into its own, I think it was because they didn't have those characters. They didn't have Wolverine. They didn't have fill in the blank, Gambit, Cyclops, Rogue, Storm, Colossus. Like, they were new characters that nobody really knew. They couldn't bring these other characters in as guest stars, really, so how do you promote a comic book like that in a market that's already flooded with mutants? It's really, really hard in the comic book industry to bring in new characters and have them reach the same level of success as the other characters around them. And especially then if you've got an already heavy mutant lineup, which they did at the time, then trying to get people to pay more money when they're already paying way too much for additional characters that they don't know. They don't know why they need to care about the characters. They don't fit into the broader universe. Like, there's all these crossovers and stuff. Yeah, so it kind of fell by the wayside. But this, and the other thing too, the pilot episode apparently is being written by Matt Nix from Burn Notice. And I love Burn Notice. Burn Notice is a great show.
You know, I think this TV series may suffer from the same kind of thing that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does. It's kind of like, you know, the side stories to the movie franchise. You know, it's like, okay, we can't have Captain America and Iron Man, but we're going to have all these other characters that we're going to hope you'll care about. While I really enjoy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think that it suffers from that with the mainstream audience.
I don't know. I mean, it's getting good ratings. So to say it's suffering is...
Yeah, but it's not doing as well as the movies do. You know what I mean? It's not, I mean, not that I think TV show ever would, but it's not going to have the same kind of draw.
But it doesn't need to. It just, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it is considered a successful TV show. And that's all it really needs to be, is merely successful. It doesn't have to be the next Game of Thrones or something.
Right.
But you're right. This is definitely something that could hamper that. But they're never going to take the primary characters and put them into a TV show like this, because it's still such a gamble that once you do, like, you've already defined how that character is going to get used in TV. I mean, it's not an easy thing to reboot. I mean, they had to reboot Hulk 3 times before they finally got that right. And even then, there hasn't been a standalone Hulk film since Edward Norton, because I mean, there's some baggage with it. Look at Spider-Man. It's difficult. So you don't want to commit those main characters to this. And then if you're still actively doing that film franchise, you can't put Wolverine in this, because if you can't get Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, then who are you getting as Wolverine? I mean, if you put Carl Urban in as Wolverine, people are like, oh, well, that's not Hugh Jackman. And you do the same thing CGI with the films. What's that?
They could just do CGI for, you know.
Sure. Actually, when I read this at first, I thought they were bringing back the animated series.
Yeah. Sadly, I'd probably rather watch that than a live action one. But
well, you can do more with it, because you don't have to worry about the budget.
That's true.
So,
well, we will hopefully hear something. You said what, next 2 weeks you're going to maybe announce something?
All the rumors are saying within the next 2 weeks.
Well, if it comes out, I'm sure I will give it a shot to watch it. I mean, I tend to err on the side of let's watch everything and then throw out the stuff I don't like later. I'm getting better about not having to finish the whole series, though. You know, or at least the whole season. I have stopped things mid-season lately and said, no, I have no time to watch this. So
that's good.
It's not good. I'm going to can it. Speaking of shows getting canned, you like that segue? It was pretty good.
That was pretty good, yeah. I mean, no joke is funny after the autopsy, but still, that was...
Well, hey, you know, I'm just saying. Star Trek Axanar is no longer. It's getting the axe.
It's getting the axe!
It is, yes.
See, I wrote that one into the show notes.
Written by Eric.
Yep, I get credit for that one.
Don't like the joke, make sure you send your emails to eric@randomchatter.com. I was excited about this fan project. I mean, I thought this was going to be pretty cool. Have you guys heard about this and were you excited about it? I mean, I'm not sure how big Trek fans you guys are, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it's a fan thing.
Chris is
so
excited.
It's usually when the fans do something, it's not going to be too terrible. So I, you know, being a very minor Star Trek fan, I was seeing this. I was like, maybe it'll work if, you know, they're allowed to do it. But, and, you know, obviously it sounded like their heart was in the right place. But as we'll see, I don't think that this ever really had a chance of getting off the ground.
Yeah, I agree with Chris wholeheartedly on this one. When it comes to fan productions, I support them. I want to see more of them being released. I want that community to thrive, because it's fun. It's an expression of your passion for that fandom. That being said, sure, as an audience member, there are very, very few that I actually enjoy, or, I mean, looking back at all the Star Wars fan productions, there are a handful that I'm actually interested in at all. And it's just because, I mean, you've got to have good writing, good production, good acting. And some people, you know, you might have a really good writer, but you don't have the money for the production. You don't have the equipment for, or the know-how for the production, and your actors suck. Or you might have really, really good actors delivering lines in a story that are crap because nobody really had a good idea. You just had good actors.
Right. Like you, I mean, the one thing that gave me hope for this, though, was that it was a fairly big production.
He's ambitious. Yes.
You know, yeah, it had people behind it. It had the studio and Paramount against them, which to me was like, okay, if it's big enough to have that kind of, if it's big enough to have them worried about it, it might be pretty good.
But that's the problem. When you get to the point where you effectively have Warner Brothers doing a Star Trek fan film, is it still really a fan film at that point?
Yeah, I see your point. That's actually a really good question. But this was still not, you know, approved by the powers that be. So to me, it was still a, you know, outside of the, you know, canon.
Now, the story for this basically is that it was a Kickstarter campaign and they raised money. They argued that it was a nonprofit. They brought in some actors from the original, some of the, not the original series, but like from actual Paramount produced Star Trek series. And the proceeds from the Kickstarter were going just to development costs and they were not going to profit off of it, et cetera. And so they were arguing that this was going to be under fair use. And I saw this, to answer your question, Lou, I enjoy Trek, but I'm not a diehard Trekker. It's like, I enjoy it and I will probably, when this new series comes up, if I could find a way to justify paying the money for the, is it CBS that's doing it?
Yes.
For the CBS streaming service, like if there's other things on it, I might consider paying for it. And the Star Trek thing would definitely be a pull, but it is not a pull in and of itself. Like it itself is not enough to get me to subscribe to it. But I enjoy, I'm interested. I would definitely pick it up on DVD when it comes out. I enjoy Star Trek, but like I saw this and I'm like, okay, it's a really big budget fan production and I want to see it out of curiosity, but it's going to bomb. Like it's going to, there's no way they can let this be made because Paramount isn't going to let them. And then lo and behold, now we're seeing that that's the case. So the story now, the judge who's been looking at this case has determined that it's not protected by fair use. So the people making Axanar, their next step is to prove to the court that the show does not bear any significant resemblance to any Star Trek properties.
Good luck with that.
Okay. Which, yeah, so that's kind of the point, Trek is to show
fan
resemblance.
Series that we can't really show as being Star Trek. Okay,
right.
Yeah. Right. I can see how they do that.
So, I mean, it's not been announced that it's dead in the water, but, I mean, there's nowhere to go. It's dead in the water.
Right, right. You know, it's been talked about for so long. I was really hoping to get at least some of it made so I could see what they were doing. Like you, Eric, I figured it probably wasn't going to be very good, but at least I'd see it, you know? I mean, I'm a big enough Star Trek fan that I would really love to see something like this done. I'm looking forward to the new series, although I probably won't see it until it's on DVD because I am not going to spend money on CBS.
Right.
When, you know, there's not, I'm sure there's stuff on CBS I want to watch, but why do I need to do that? I'm already paying a boatload for cable. I'm paying for Netflix. I'm paying for Hulu. It's like, I can't keep showing out money for all these different services. And I'm drawing a line there for a property I really, really love. And we haven't had a Star Trek series on TV in what? How long has it been?
Well, since Enterprise.
10 years, right?
Has it been 10 years? I was going to say 8 or 9. But
I thought Enterprise was around in like 05.
Yeah, that sounds probably about right, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, And for me to say that and not want to shell the money out for it, I mean, I keep thinking, is this really going to help CBS? I mean, they're showing the first one on CBS, and they're going to show the rest of them on the pay service.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to see them until they're on DVD.
Yeah. I'm sorry. There are too many other shows I need to catch up on. Like, I'm not going to watch them as they come out necessarily anyway, unless this is like God's gift to sci-fi. Like, if they win me over with the pilot, is there a chance? Well, yeah, there's a chance, but it would have to be like the best pilot ever.
Right, yeah. I'm thinking back to, what was it, Dumb and Dumber? So you're telling me there's a chance.
Right, right.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen for me.
Yeah, no, I'm going to wait for the
movie. Correct, Chris, 2005 is when Enterprise went off the air.
Okay.
And so the timing, too. I mean, they're bringing this out. They're trying to, Paramount's trying to bring the franchise back and monetize it. And then Axanar shows up.
Right.
Like, there was just no way that they were ever going to allow this to happen. So,
but you know what? The other thing that bugs me about this, too, and not to make this all about Star Trek, but, you know, last year was the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. They couldn't have had the series premiere then. Really? I mean,
listen, last year was like the 20th
and nothing happened.
20th or 30th anniversary of Pokemon. I forget which. And there was Pokemon crap everywhere. Pokemon Go was one of the number one apps in iTunes. All kinds of Pokemon cards. There were collector's edition stuffed Pokemons that came in acrylic cases. There, I mean, just all over the place. We got Pokemon Sun and Moon. There were a bunch of other Pokemon titles released for like the Wii U, like a battle arena fighting game. So you're telling me last year was the 50th anniversary of Star Trek?
Mm-hmm.
Other than the very good documentary on Spock, on Leonard Nimoy, done by his son, what came out?
Nothing.
Star Trek Beyond.
Anything. Yeah, but they didn't really promote it. I mean,
right, that wasn't part of an anniversary.
Huge opportunity to have a year worth of, you know, fanfare and fan service, and hey, let's really promote this. And no, nothing. Fans were like, "Really, we didn't get anything?" I mean, I got the 50th anniversary Hallmark ornament, but I'm like, yeah, nothing else happened.
That's really sad. They need to get the crap together. Which
makes me very sad. Really does.
They are to the X-Men franchise what Star Wars is to the Marvel franchise. And they need to get their crap together. They need to put someone else in charge who can steer the ship.
They do. They do. So one last news story here. For anybody who's a fan of the Clueless Gamer series that Conan O'Brien does.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, which is a lot of fun to watch. Sometimes I think of myself as a Clueless Gamer. But
You've got to watch the Final Fantasy 15 one.
I have not seen that one.
Oh my gosh. It is freaking incredible. It's got, what's his face from Lord of the Rings? The Hobbit. He's also on the Dirk Gently show.
Sure.
Why can't I remember his name now? Anyway, I feel like an idiot, but it's got him in it and it's awesome. Watch the Final Fantasy 15 one.
Cool. Cool. Well, evidently it's becoming a real series on TBS.
Yay.
So we're going to get continuing content from this, make it a real TV show. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be fun.
Well, except one problem.
What's that?
What makes it funny is Conan. And while he's going to be producing it, he's not going to be hosting it.
See, I'm not the biggest Conan fan in the world. So if they get somebody funny enough to pull this off, I'd be happy.
That's the catch. I'm going to reserve judgment. I'm excited about the concept I'm in love with. But right. It's going to depend on who they get to host it. Absolutely. Conan O'Brien, for me, is very hit and miss. And when he hits, he knocks it out of the park.
Oh, he does. Yeah, I've seen some of the stuff that I absolutely love, but I'm not a huge fan of his in general.
Another good one is, it's not a series, but he takes one of his interns out with him to for driver's ed. She's going to go get her driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of guest stars that hop into the car halfway through. You need to go watch that one too. It's not part of Clueless Gamer, but it's on YouTube.
Okay.
I'll pretty awesome.
Check it out. Well, that brings us to the end of our news for this week. And I can't wait to hear this. What were they thinking weekly? I heard this story before. If I had hair, I'd be pulling my hair out listening to this, but Eric, why don't you take our, what were they thinking weekly and bring us into this?
All right. This one, this one makes me really sad. And it's sad because it's tragic. And it's also sad because it makes me a little bit angry. But
makes you very angry, but go ahead.
Yes. And yet I sympathize for the people who I think are not approaching this properly.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, I believe this was in California. There was a car accident. And someone had to... Oh, I'm sorry, this was in Texas. And this was actually a couple of years ago. This was December 24th, 2014. I'm going to read this from appleinsider.com just because it's faster and easier way to describe it than I would. The family slowed the vehicle the family was traveling in down because of road congestion. A 20-year-old driver then slammed into the rear of this family's car at 65 miles an hour, injuring the passengers and ultimately leading to the death of the 5-year-old girl who was in the back seat. Okay. So what happened was the 20-year-old driver was using FaceTime in the car. And FaceTime, of course, being the video calling system like Skype or Google Hangouts, he was using FaceTime with the video in his car and then hit the car in front of him, which had slowed down, hitting them at 65 miles an hour. So first, I want to make it very clear. I cannot begin to express my condolences to this family. I can only, you know, I've had nights where I've been awake at night wondering what would happen if something happened to my son. I can't even imagine what they're going through right now. So I sympathize with them.
Agreed. Okay? Yep.
I want to make it very clear. I'm not making fun of anybody, but the steps that they're taking now, they are suing Apple. Because Apple has the ability to turn FaceTime off if the vehicle's in motion and opted not to. And there was a quote, I don't know if it was in this particular article, I'm just scanning real quick because it was worded in such a way. Here we go. In failing to implement the technology, the suit claims that Apple acted with intent to cause injury, with a, quote, willful and knowing disregard of the rights and safety of another, end quote, in order to profit. Okay, first of all, I don't think Apple intends to kill people with its products.
Right.
Because I don't think that would be good for their company or for their business. Number one. Number two, there's just no common sense there. I mean, come on. You have to be... I mean, if I get shot, I'm going to sue the person who shot me. I'm not going to sue the person who made the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a gun. Guns only have one purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to post things to Facebook. It's to shoot people.
I mean,
an iPhone.
I'm sure this comes down to the lawyers, and that's all it comes down to. Right. Who is causing this to happen, and why they said, "Hey, we can sue Apple because they got the deepest pockets." I mean, it's
and what'll happen is Apple will settle or something like that, and you know they'll get.
I'm sure. Yep. I'm sure.
A small percentage of the $5 trillion they're asking for, and they'll be rich as a result. And again, this family is. This happened 2 years ago, and this family's still in mourning, and they will be for their entire lives.
Nothing will ever make this family whole.
Right. But.
No way. But, you know, the whole thing about distracted driving, whether it's a cell phone, whether it's eating your McDonald's hamburger, whether it's putting on makeup, whether it's, reading a paper. I've seen people read magazines in cars going to the highway.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're not going to sue Maybelline because you were putting on lipstick when you had an accident. You're not going to. You know, sue McDonald's because the guy had a hamburger in his hand when he had the accident.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it's coming down to is that they can because, well, you know, they're involved in this because the guy had a hamburger in his hand and McDonald's got pretty deep pockets. So let's sue them.
And the 20-year-old driver, they're not going to get anything out of suing this 20-year-old. But it's the 20-year-old's fault. He is responsible for his own actions. It might not have been an iPhone. It could have been, like you said, it could have been a McDonald's cheeseburger. It could have been him writing a note on a piece of paper on the passenger seat.
Yep.
Distraction is distraction, and it's really easy. You either turn the video off on the FaceTime call, or you just don't make the call.
Mm-hmm.
You just hang up. And the fact that the reason, the premise behind this lawsuit is the fact that Apple could have enabled the technology to black out FaceTime calls while the vehicle's in motion, and they opted not to. Here's why they opted not to. Because even if I'm driving, my son in the back seat, whose phone is traveling just as fast as mine, might want to make a call. Or if I'm on a train, my mom travels up and down from her house up to where we live in Connecticut. She's got like a 12-hour train ride. Well, if the train's traveling just as fast as a car, why should she have her phone disconnected when she's on a train? So there are some common sense things here. Cars hold multiple people.
Yep.
And only one of them
dropped
in a bus.
Around,
what about a bus?
They did block this technology, and I wanted to make a, or I had to make a call because something bad happened, and I couldn't, and somebody else died because I couldn't make this call, then I would get sued again.
Right.
Because I should have been able to make a call from my cell phone when I was a passenger in a car, and I couldn't do it, and, you know, it's like, oh my God, when's this going to end? There's, there's this thing called common sense that nobody has anymore.
It's real simple. If you caused an accident because you are using your phone in a way that is already illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It is already against the law for you to be displaying any video in view of the driver in almost every state in this country.
Well, it's already illegal. I will say this. There was one line in the article that you got posted here. It says, Texas has no law restricting cell phone use for drivers over 18 years old on the state's highways.
Okay, but they have no law specifying that you can't use a cell phone. They do have laws against distracted driving.
Okay.
And I'd have to check with Texas. I believe they do have a law about displaying video in clear view of the driver, which is what FaceTime is. I mean, it's not a movie or a TV show. It's boring video, but it's still video. With the exception generally being navigation systems, which is not considered actual video. But point is, even if that isn't specified, they do have a distracted driving law, which still makes the driver liable, not whatever he was distracting himself with. He is still the one who chose to participate in that call.
Yeah. Right.
Part of me thinks that this incident, and I feel terrible saying this, but part of me thinks that the family's just trying to find ways to grieve.
They're trying to find closure. You're saying,
and you know, suing a company that, you know, didn't really had nothing to do with it aside from their product was being used at the time, isn't the right way to go about it. And honestly, I don't want to speak for the family because I don't know them personally, but you know, you got to think, would your daughter want you to be doing this? I mean,
you're right.
At this point, I mean, we're sitting here talking about how, you know, as tragic as it is, it's a ridiculous thing to do because it just goes against, you know, common sense. And, you know, you don't want that kind of bad press for your family, especially when you are talking about the loss of your 5-year-old daughter.
Right.
Mm.
So while sad, I mean, I feel like there's a much better way to get closure out of everything.
Yeah, so, and I'm not sure who initiated that. I would be willing to bet it's the lawyers.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want to make it
for the payday themselves, but
yeah, I want to make it clear that that's.
I think it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Good for Apple to maybe not have that kind of the technology that we're talking about, where you restrict the use based on the speed, but you know, maybe it'd be if you could have some kind of like lockout feature. I don't know. I'm not technologically savvy when it comes to Apple products anyway, but
there's technically a way that you can put it in basically airplane mode, in which case you don't have that, but then you also don't have your navigation. So in theory, what they should do, in my personal opinion, and it sounds like this is kind of what you're getting at, Chris, in that same spot where you can turn the Bluetooth on and off, turn the Wi-Fi on and off, disable or enable airplane mode, have it so there's a enable and disable driving mode. You can still get your navigation, but it turns off text messaging and it turns off cell phone calls.
Yeah.
And then the driver can turn that off for themselves.
But there's still a personal responsibility for the driver
Absolutely.
To initiate that.
Absolutely, you know? As there should be.
And if you make a sort of a law where you've got to plug your phone into the car to let the car know that you're the driver, your phone's now disabled, you know, if I'm really going to be the guy that's going to be doing that and I really want to make my phone calls and do my own thing,
yeah.
I'm going to have another phone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
no, there should not be a law
around this besides having personal responsibility that says I am not going to use my phone when I'm behind the wheel.
No, there should not be a law that requires that because, as you said, Lou, there's no technological way to actually enforce it. And there already is a law saying that you, well, I guess not in Texas, but there already is a law saying you can't use your cell phone. Right. But anyway, I want to make it clear. I know we need to keep moving here, but
yeah. The
what were they thinking part is aimed toward the lawyer or
exactly.
lawyers involved, yeah. not toward this family. Just want to make that yeah. clear.
Okay. Well, now that we are quickly approaching our end time, Chris, why don't you bring us through the lightning round quickly?
All right. So, pretty brief lightning round this week. Hulu and BBC are producing a cop series. Apparently we have a cop theme going on this episode. A cop series called Hard Sun that will show what life would be like if we knew the world was ending within 5 years. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh. Interesting, yeah.
It's good to see that Hulu's getting original content.
Absolutely.
So, the Doctor Who Christmas special, which I have not seen, so I can't verify this, which is the only episode of Doctor Who that aired in 2016, broke records in the U.S. despite bad reviews. And finally, this one's kind of funny, Will Smith and Tom Hanks are apparently going to be in the live-action Dumbo movie with Tim Burton directing. So that's a little strange.
Which one's Dumbo?
Yeah.
That's
what I'm asking.
But yeah, the whole, I mean, if Will Smith and Tom Hanks together in a Dumbo movie didn't make me go, really? The whole Tim Burton thing makes me go, yeah, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like Will Smith and Tom Hanks. Tim Burton, on the other hand, I can do without, but.
Yeah, I'm not a big Tim Burton.
And Dumbo is one of my favorite Disney movies. I remember watching that a lot when I was a kid. So.
That is a we'll messed see. Up kids movie.
It really is.
I mean, it is like ultimately messed up. We can talk about that some other time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. So
the Doctor Who thing real quick.
What?
I'm sorry. If I can just have like 10 seconds. Did either of you guys watch the Doctor Who Christmas special?
No, I have not. It's on my DVR.
Okay. If you need to free up any space, you could consider deleting it. It was horrible. And to think it was the only Doctor Who episode of 2016, it was one of the worst episodes overall, let alone Christmas specials, that I've seen.
I still have not gotten into this latest Doctor. I don't know. I'm still having a hard time with that.
I finally caught up just before Christmas on the last season, and I liked him a lot. Like I'm comfortable with him now, and I still like Clara. So I'm a little upset that she's leaving.
Yeah, I like Clara, but yeah.
But yeah, oh, this Christmas special was atrocious.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Last week in the box office, we have a new number one. Now, we haven't really recorded an episode of Outer Rim lately, but Rogue One has been dominating the box office ever since it came out the week before Christmas. And this is the first weekend. It is no longer the number one movie for the week. Weekend. Hidden Figures took the number one spot with $22.8 million for... I was distracted here. For a total of $25.8 for the whole week that's been out. Rogue One in its fourth week is brought in $22.1 million for a total of $477.4 million.
How disappointing.
Very impressive. Very impressive.
How disappointing.
And we'll go on to the next one here. Sing made another $20 million for $214 million. Not a bad showing in three
weeks.
That was
a surprise. For
a movie. Yep. And let's see, Underworld Blood Wars, which I didn't even realize was out yet, made $13.7 million.
Neither did
week.
Anybody else.
Yeah, obviously. And La La Land, rounding out the top five here, $10.1 million for a total of $51.8 in its fifth week.
Now, keep in mind, I think La La Land is limited release.
Still?
Mainly because of the Oscars and such. Yeah, I don't know if it's wide release now or not.
Okay.
But notice, like, of those top five, the only one that has been in the theaters for less than 3 weeks is Underworld. The fourth place. Everything else has been almost a month in the theaters.
Right, right. It's kind of surprising. I mean, you know, we're seeing these movies making some big numbers, but
Normally it's like they're out 2 weeks and gone.
Yeah. Well.
But 477 for Rogue One, I'm very impressed by that. That's a nice haul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I didn't put this in the show notes, but I've got the websites up, so I'll go ahead and cover the new releases. We've got Silence is coming out tomorrow, January 13th in theaters, 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. There's a lot of hype behind this movie. It's got Liam Neeson, Adam Driver, Andrew Garfield, my understanding is they're talking awards for it and stuff. Patriots Day, 79%. Live by Night has 32%. And Sleepless, which the trailers for this looked really good. Mm-hmm. Nothing on Rotten Tomatoes, which worries me a little bit.
Mm, interesting.
And then finally, a movie my son desperately wants to see, Monster Trucks.
Really? Good luck with
28%.
That.
28%. Listen, if you're a young boy, the concept looks cute. It's a monster who crawls inside of a big truck and makes the truck go. And the monster is hiding from the bad guys who wants to. I mean, it's E.T., but it's like this tentacled monster and it's trucks. I mean, what more do you want? The truck climbs up the side of a building and it's awesome, right?
Well, let us know how that is.
No, I'm not going to see it. My wife can take him to see it. That's why I got married before I had a kid. What are you talking about? All right, DVDs. Let's see. For new releases, Deepwater Horizon, 83%. The Accountant with Ben Affleck, 51%. No. Okay, yeah, none of the rest of them are worth mentioning. And coming soon, we have... never mind. Not much. Wow.
Yeah, never mind. Sounds like a great.
I'm looking at the.
I must have missed that at the theater.
I'm looking at the coming up soon on DVD stuff, and the first thing that looks somewhat interesting is The Edge of 17 coming out on February 14th. February. Ooh,
I 14th. Need to see that.
Yeah, I need to see it too.
Mm.
So, well, I'm loving on February 7th. That'll be one that a lot of people will pick up as well. But. That's it. So kind of a dry season for DVD releases. So, you know, sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, saves you some money, I guess, right?
Yeah, but there's a lot of television series coming up soon. We're not going to go over all of them right now. We'll probably cover that in an upcoming random chatter or something. But check your local listings, because there are a lot of shows that are returning or starting anew in January and February.
Like The Expanse.
Like The Expanse, February 1st.
February 1st, that's right. Okay, well, I think that wraps it up for this week's episode. We were almost under an hour. I think we're just over, so we didn't do too bad there. If we didn't have Eric's rant in the beginning, we would be okay.
I'm sorry. I'll get better.
That's okay. That's okay. So if you want to send us any feedback on the show or things you want to hear us cover, please do so. You can send us an email at Outer Rim. Boy, I am just not in with it tonight. Send those emails to OuterRim@RandomChatter.com.
You can also find us online in a variety of places. We have our Facebook account, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We have the show Twitter. It's at Outer Rim Podcast. Our network Twitter is at Random Chatter. My Twitter is at The Curse of Chris. Lou, what is your Twitter?
Just my name, Lou Secki, LouSecki.
And Eric, how about you?
Mine is Eric Blythe. That's ErikBlythe.
All right. You can also find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. We have Random Chatter, the show, Echo Base for Star Wars. Jay and Josh do all of their shows. Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. We have the show for Star Wars Rebels, Ghost Stories. We have the Retro Convo, Spock Table, Cordcast, and our newest edition, The Crash Couch for The Expanse.
We have to stop listing all of those every episode.
Yeah, it's really
it's getting longer and longer
now. Yeah. All right. Well, we would love it if you would help spread the word about this show and about the other shows on the network. So we would love it if you'd leave us reviews wherever you get this podcast, and tell your friends about us. Just, you know, word of mouth is a great way to build a community. And the more the community grows, because you're part of that community, the more you benefit as well. So spread the word.
You can also listen to us live when we record our shows. We are doing it, for the time being, Monday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Don't know exactly what shows will be on what day, but right now that is the schedule. You can find that at randomchatter.com/live. Or for the time being, we do it on Ustream. You go to ustream.com and search Random Chatter. You'll find that. We might be switching to Twitch in the very near future, so we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, the story on that is that by the end of the month, we will be live on Twitch. If we're going to do it on Twitch, we have to have accompanying video. And I just have a couple of tweaks to make here on my end before we can start streaming the video live as well. But and also, now that we've got more of a solid recording schedule set, we have to change that recording schedule. Won't mention Chris's name or anything, but one of the hosts have some changes. So, we're going to change that. So we're looking at probably, I think we're going to try to get most of the shows out on Tuesday nights now, back to back, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. I might do something on Monday as well, but Tuesday definitely.
And then maybe late Friday nights for Crash Couch. But we'll keep you guys posted on that. We want to thank everybody who supported us on Patreon. If you head over to patreon.com/randomchatter, there's more information there. Everybody who donates, even if it's just a dollar a month, becomes part of our Slack community. There's just a crazy amount of conversations going on there on all kinds of different topics.
Yeah, I have a hard time keeping up with it myself. It's just so much out there.
Fun. Our gaming channel, Derek was confused earlier today as to whether we were talking about Destiny the video game or Destiny the new Star Wars card and dice game. Turns out we were talking about both. there's all kinds of stuff there. And then, of course, also, we've been previewing... is it really a preview if it's something from 10 years ago? Posts from the old Random Chatter archives there as well. It'll be made public to everybody pretty soon. But we do throw in little behind-the-scenes things here and there for all of our donors. So head over to patreon.com/randomchatter for more info on that.
Well, that does bring us to the end of this episode. We appreciate everyone for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody.
The Force will be with you. Always.